Well, I desire your prayers for me this morning. The Lord will give me the strength to be able to deliver a little message to you this morning. You know, I was thinking how wonderful it would be this morning if we could come to service and Jesus Christ Himself would come, walk down the aisle, and stand before us here in service today, here, in physical form, and break the bread of life to us. Wouldn't that be nice this morning? But I was encouraged with this. Jesus Christ is willing to be with us this morning. The Lord loves us. He cares about you. He cares about me. And He wants to meet with us this morning with His presence. And it is my prayer that the Lord, with these few words, would encourage us in our walk with the Lord. I'd like to read out of the 5th chapter of Matthew and read verses 1 through 9. It said, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth, and He taught them." And I want to pause for a moment. And I'd like to notice a couple of key items. This message follows that the Lord brought out that we know as the Sermon on the Mount represented the front end of Jesus Christ's ministry. John the Baptist had declared the coming of Jesus Christ. You remember? John the Baptist went out there and with force, with power, he declared the coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus had been baptized before this message. And the Holy Spirit came down from heaven and rested on Jesus and declared, God declared, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And Jesus had been tempted in the wilderness and was tempted by the enemy. And then it said that the angels came and ministered unto Jesus. Jesus had called some of His disciples at this point, had gone out into Galilee, and the Scripture said, taught and healed all manner of sickness and disease, including casting out devils. And the multitudes were now beginning to follow Jesus Christ. They recognized Jesus Christ as being someone who had something to offer that they had never seen before. And they were beginning to now follow Him. And the Scripture now says that seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And with love, Jesus Christ opened His mouth and began to teach them. And He brought a message like never before had been brought. And I believe that Jesus looked at the multitudes and recognized the need that they had in their souls, the longing that they had for their hearts, to be filled with something that went beyond what the world so often promotes all around them. And beyond that, I believe that the Lord, as He recognized and saw the multitudes that were before Him, I believe that the Lord looked down through the ages of time and saw me and He saw you. And He recognized the needs that we too would have in our lives. I believe that the Lord saw the the influences and the pressures that would be brought to bear and the things that would be taught to us that if you want to be fulfilled in life, live like this. We heard a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning in trusting in the Lord, because the world brings a message to us that is at such variance to the words of the Lord. And I believe that the Lord at this time was able to capture a vision of the need that the multitudes had before Him and the needs that we too would have some 2,000 years down the road. And so He brought words that reached their very hearts with timeless, simple, life-changing truths. Do you want to experience life-changing and life-changing experience today? I want to be satisfied not by the world, but by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ brought forth at the front end of the message that no doubt would be and is the message that is perhaps the most well-known message of all time, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus Christ started out with these words. Listen in. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It seems to me that the blessings pronounced here, almost without exception, deal with attributes and traits and ways of living that are so directly contrary to what is promoted in the world around us. All around us we see promises of rewards to those that put ourselves in front of other people. We live in a life, in a world where so much has to do with competition. So much has to do with doing what you need to do to put yourself ahead of the next person. It's all around us in society. Everywhere we look, that is where the rewards are promised to those that are able to get ahead and be ahead. And yet, Jesus Christ said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. All around us, we feel the pressure and the influence to lift up our human flesh so much, so many times in aggressive and assertive behavior. I remember when I was in high school, this was one of those learning moments that didn't go away from me, but I remember being in health class, and I remember the teacher teaching us the value of being assertive. And I believe that to a point, what she was trying to teach was that if you want something in life, you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to go after it. And I don't remember teaching it in such a bad way, but I remember going home and beginning to enlighten my mother on the value of being assertive, and began to tell her what the benefits were of being assertive. Well, I didn't get the response from her that I got from my teacher. The response that I got from my mother was one of, you need to be cautious about being assertive. Be careful about how you adopt assertiveness in your life. Because being assertive in the wrong way is contrary to what Jesus Christ has called us to be. And I remember feeling just caught between two, because it seemed like that what I was being taught at school was, it seemed so right. And yet what my mother taught me on what Jesus Christ brought us and how to live, that is really, there is a place to stand up and to go forward in life with the degree of confidence that the Lord would be pleased with. But the world teaches a level of assertiveness and self-promotion and wraps it up in packages that can look so right and so good, and yet if we're not very careful, we miss the very blessing that the Lord has for us to live a life of service to people who are in such great need. Salvation in the way of the Lord is about so much more than me. It's so much more about the individual. God is calling us this morning to recognize that blessing and happiness, the blessing of the Lord, comes about living a life that is so different than what is so promoted in the world around us. The world around us demands justice on every front. And do you know, as a people, there is something within us that that gravitates towards having a sense of justice. And if people are wrong, they need to be made right. And if people err, they need to understand that they have erred, and that there is a place for them, for justice to be able to be meted out in their life so that all can be okay. Don't we live in a world that way? I'm glad for balances of right and wrong. I'm not adverse to that at all. But I also want to remind us as Christians that while we are people that look and we are all about right and wrong, the Scripture is about right and wrong, but there is a place for mercy. There is a place for giving people room and allowance in their life. And yet the world is so geared towards justice and demanding the execution of discipline and calling out those that err in their lives. We are so geared, and the world promotes yielding our bodies to so many things that are exactly the opposite of purity and right. All around us in the world, we go out into the workplace, we go into the stores, we drive down the roads, we turn the radio on, we open up our phones, and there is so much that bids us and calls us to give our eyes and our ears and our mouths and our all of our senses to those things that are not pure. The Lord, I believe, He looked down through the ages and recognized that more and more and more these things would be lifted up and pushed and promoted, and that we, even as Christians, would begin to get drawn into those places that are not where the blessings of the Lord reside. And I think also that in the world that we live in today, there is a continual seeking of emotional happiness and joy absent all types of mourning. Right? Don't you see that? Is mourning ever promoted? Isn't it always about what it is that we need to do to make ourselves happy and joyful? Go here, do this, participate over here, and it will make you happy and joyful. That is so much what is promoted around us. And I believe that as Christians, may God help us recognize that we too can be subtly drawn in to all of these ways of the world and miss the joys and blessings that the Lord has for us. I know that the Scripture teaches and we believe in the Scripture when it tells us not to be part of the world. And we believe that. In 1 John, I believe the second chapter, the Scripture tells us not to be of the world, and that all that is in of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And I believe that all of us here this morning, we believe that. We buy into that. But what does it mean when it says that? What practically, how does that apply to our lives? Because too often I fear that foundationally we miss some of the very direct application that this has for us in life. And I offer for your consideration this morning that the world has everything to do with living in those spaces that are outside of where the Lord pronounced blessings upon our lives that we read about this morning. Proud in spirit. This says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Did you know that we can be proud in spirit and be a professed Christian? What does it mean to be proud in spirit? Do you know that we can be taken with an exaggerated sense of who we are? And that isn't what God wants us to be as Christians. The Lord wants us to demonstrate humility. God wants us as Christians to be easily entreated. Have you ever met a professed Christian that you didn't feel was easily entreated? Harsh? Critical? Judgmental? Did you know that the Lord isn't pleased with that? God wants us to recognize our own need in our own spirit. He wants us to recognize that those around us have needs. And He wants us to demonstrate that in our life by being a person that is easily entreated. Let's be merciful to each other. Did you know that it's easy? It's easy as we read the Scriptures and we become to understanding of what we believe the Lord requires of us to then look out and see those in our midst and those around us that are living a little bit differently than what we believe that they ought to live. And it's very easy to become harsh and have a critical and a judgmental spirit towards people, and we don't even know their heart. And we're not able to help them because they do not feel the love that comes from our lives. I might look right. I might look pure. I may look, have all of the right attributes of what we believe a Christian is supposed to have on the outside. But if I cannot demonstrate the love of Christ through the conduct of my life, how possibly am I going to be able to draw others to Christ? Failing to carry with us an acute recognition of our need before God. Did you know this morning we are in such great need of the mercy of God? None of us this morning ever arrive spiritually. None of us ever get to the place where we can say, I have arrived. I am in need of the mercy of Jesus Christ all the way to the end. And I want to carry with me an acute recognition of the great need that I have before God. And not only that, but did you know that I have need of other people? I need you. Other people need you. We're dependent on each other. May God help us live our lives with a healthy dose of understanding the great need that we have before God the Father and from those that are around us. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Don't we stand in mercy, stand in need of the great mercy of God? Why is it that sometimes that we hold things over on other people for so long? We get hurt at other people. Somebody does us wrong, and we hold that thing for days and weeks and months. And then sometimes people don't want to be around others, or they don't want to come to church, or the peace that God wants them to have in their hearts is stolen away because we're not able to exercise and demonstrate mercy to other people. The Lord said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Do you want to obtain mercy today? May God help us to be merciful to those that are in need. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Why is it so human? Why are we so apt to stir the pot? Have you ever worked with people like that? We call them pot stirrers. They're a pot stirrer. There's some people that almost seems like they sniff out opportunities where they can throw a little wood on the fire. Where when things start getting right about the time you start to get settled down, they start stirring the pot. Throwing out a few words, saying a few things just to get people riled up. Saints, God is calling us to be a peacemaker. A peacemaker, not a pot stirrer. If we recognize that others may have variance with each other, and we see an opportunity, maybe individually or when they're together, to be able to say some words in season to create an atmosphere of peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." You want to be called the children of God today? Let's be peacemakers. Let's look for opportunities to make for peace. And what do we hunger and thirst for in life? What does the world tell us to hunger and thirst for? We are inundated with influence to hunger and thirst after those things that are going to all pass away. They're going to all pass away. Folks, we have learned in the last couple years how tenuous, how uncertain life is. One day we can feel so strong. We can feel like we're on top of the world. And just like that, be on our backs. And there's nothing we can do about it. And it seems like the Lord is just showing us how fragile we are. The things that we can put so much value in, satisfying our flesh, doing those things just to give us an emotion of happiness, going after those things that will put us financially ahead in life. Those are the things that are promoted and advertised all around us. But Jesus, in these very first words that would be read for hundreds and thousands of years, wanted to make the point and say, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness." Blessed are they that create space and room in your life to give yourself to those things that fall outside of the realm of just satisfying my flesh and going after all of the material things of life, but that I give myself to having a hunger and a thirst and a desire. Lord, I want what You have. Lord, help me to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me to have a desire in my heart for something that goes beyond those temporal things of life that are just going to pass away. But Lord, help me to have a desire and a yearning and a thirst and a hunger that would cause me to go a different way than the way that the masses are going. Lord, that I might be filled with who You are and that I might have something to offer to other people who also are hungering and thirsting after something that the world does not have to offer. What is it that we are hungering and thirsting after today? There is a timeless truth spoken of in the Scriptures in the 6th chapter of Galatians that says, "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting." It is always this way with no exceptions. And in fact, you will always reap more than what you sow. And hasn't the Lord showed us that all around us? I marvel as we look out at nature, all of the spiritual application that is out of nature that the Lord did. It's not a coincidence. He set things up that we might be able in a tangible way to get a hold of spiritual truths that He wants us to get a hold of. And we find that if we plant a grain of corn, that we get not just another grain of corn that comes out, but many, many grains of corn. If you plant an apple seed, you get many apples and a tree that brings forth much fruit. And I want to submit to you today that if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap a whole lot more corruption than what you ever sowed. And the same goes forth the other way. If we will hunger and if we will thirst after righteousness, if we will give ourselves to living our lives in a place where we are poor in spirit, where we mourn and where we recognize our great need before God the Father, where we are meek, where we recognize who we are relative to the Creator. We're the created. We're not the Creator. When we give ourselves to being merciful to other people, when we give ourselves to being peacemakers in a time where there is so much trouble and so much adversity and so many people that are at odds with each other, and we make it a point in life to be a peacemaker, to make for peace, and we sow seeds in these areas, there will be a reaping that is so much more than what we ever sowed. May God help us all this morning that we would capture a vision of this. Let's be encouraged today to be able to go forth with an increased focus on these simple yet powerful traits of a Christian. Listen one more time. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who are deeply conscious of your spiritual need before God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning, being poor in spirit. Mourning after God and lamenting the iniquity that separates us from God. Did you know that so many seek joy and happiness, but true joy and happiness comes from the fruit of godly sorrow? That is where true joy exists. It is the fruit that comes from godly sorrow. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who are of a quiet and gentle spirit. I don't want to be known as one that is of a harsh and critical spirit, but one that is of a gentle and quiet spirit. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Folks, heavenly things are not able to satisfy all of the needs of the physical body. God designed it that way. There are earthly things that we do to satisfy the needs of the body that will eventually pass away. But earthly things are not able to satisfy the spiritual needs of our bodies. Earthly things are not able to satisfy the spiritual needs of our bodies. And God knows this. And yet the world promotes all around us as if all of the answers that we have in life can be found in earthly and temporal solutions. May God help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Folks, if we take advantage of every advantage that we have over others, how can we possibly expect to receive the mercy that we need of the Father? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I know these are called the Beatitudes. We learn them as children. They're short verses. And I feel like sometimes that these verses are easy to pass over too quickly. And yet the Lord saw fit for these very verses to be at the very front end of one of the greatest, probably the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't want these truths to get past me. I want to be a Christian that demonstrates the traits and the behaviors of Jesus Christ, that I might find blessing and happiness and joy in life. Let's be encouraged in these things. May God bless each one of you is my prayer this morning. Amen.